Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where me, Matt, Kate, and Adrian look at the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? But before we get started, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you listen. And if you want to support us more, come check out our Patreon at patreon.com/butwhythoughPC. Enjoy!
And today we are celebrating an anniversary for Smash Brothers. As always, I'm your host Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And a super special Nintendo loving guest, Ash.
Hey. What? Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody what you do?
Well, I happen to write for butwhythoughpodcast.com on occasion, but I also have two podcasts. One is a Pokemon podcast called The Safari Zone, and one is a Star Wars podcast called The Skyhoppers Podcast.
Ooh. You do a lot of things.
I do a lot of things. Too many, some might say, but...
And how about you tell everybody why we decided that you should be our Smash Brothers expert?
Probably because I'm a Nintendo fangirl. Like an unabashed Nintendo fangirl. And I happen to like the Pokemon just a little bit.
What? You like the Pokemans?
I know. I don't really talk about it all that much.
I know you like the Pokemans.
I quite enjoy those pocket monsters.
Pocket monsters. Is it the same thing as the Digimons?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. So, Adrian is going to be leading the episode today. Adrian?
Yeah. It's Super Smash Brothers, right? Like, the stuff is pretty straightforward. We're just going to front smash through this whole hour. I couldn't really think of a question because I didn't know how long ago people had played Smash Brothers. I was going to ask, who's your favorite character? But like, what if you haven't played since there was only like 12 characters and then you don't... So I'll just go with, when was the last time you played Super Smash Brothers? Matt?
So I'm going to start with this. One, my favorite character, how long ago, was Yoshi, only because he turned people into eggs, and you just sat at the edge and popped them into eggs, and they fell off. And that's about how long ago that was, as in...
I'm not surprised that that's how you played Smash.
Oh, yeah. You make people angry playing Smash.
that's the goal of Smash.
But as far as the whole last time I played... Going through the list of games, I played the one on the Wii, I think it's in 2008, and I only played it, like, briefly, like, one or two, like, rounds, I think I ended up playing at somebody's house one time. I own the very, very first one from the 64, which is amazing, and then I obviously played the second one quite a bit on a GameCube. But as far as the last time I played, I think it's from the third game from the Wii. But very little. So my memories of this is the 64 game, which was amazing, especially when it first came out.
Cool. Kate?
Okay, so I played the hell out of it on GameCube. Again, I'm pretty sure I've said it on multiple episodes, but the GameCube is the most underrated console of all time. It is phenomenal, and it deserves a whole bunch of respect, and they're even...
Have you ever tried to play a sports game on a GameCube? It is, like, damn near impossible.
I don't care.
Who plays sports games, man?
Well, when GameCube came out in 2001, there was actually sports games. Now it might be a dead genre. But at the time...
Hey, man. You used to play as Echo on the Madden on the GameCube, man.
I played Team Echo, bro. I played Need for Speed. I played Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
So much Zelda.
Yeah, those are all sports. Kirby. That's sports. That works. That's wrong.
No. I played so much Zelda and Animal Crossing and Luigi's Mansion. And so is my Nintendo fan girl showing through?
Yes. Yeah. So much Animal Crossing. Ooh, Resident Evil 4. Okay, but this isn't a GameCube episode. No. But Smash, I played a whole bunch of Smash with my brother because he's 9 years younger than me, so he's super young at the time. When he got old enough to actually play GameCube games with me and stuff, we would play Smash whenever we'd start arguing. So if I wanted him to do something when I was babysitting him, we'd take it to the Smash. I kicked his ass every time, so it was never a problem.
Beat on your 9-year-old brother? I was.
You were 1v1 me, bro? Yep. Your brother?
Yep, all the time. It worked, and then he didn't complain. And now he's a competitive esports player. So I did my job as a sister. I did my job here. He's a collegiate esports player. I'm gonna take that.
1v1 broing.
But I played a lot of Smash then. Now, actually, the last time I played Smash was 2 weeks ago. So in my office, they have different like relaxation areas, and one of them on our floor has a TV with a whole bunch of Nintendo systems, and they have the 64 Smash. And so after a really bad meeting, me and one of my coworkers will actually go over there and just play a couple of rounds of Smash. So that was the last time I played.
Who do you play with? Who's your favorite character?
Sheik.
Ooh, that doesn't surprise me literally at all. There's no surprise there.
And I say
there.
Sheik because I rarely ever stay in Princess Zelda form. It always.
I was gonna say I'm not.
Well, now they're two separate characters.
I know. Yeah. And it's awesome because I just wanted Sheik.
I was thinking in my head, you should be nice to Zelda, and then I was like, why? Zelda is terrible in Smash and never has been good at all.
What about you, Ash?
Well, the last time I played Smash was about 20 minutes before we started recording this podcast. I've been playing too much Smash Ultimate. It's so much fun, and just the fact that it has every character in it is amazing. My favorite character though is Pikachu, and has always been Pikachu.
I wonder why
these on-brand picks is just phenomenal.
It's almost but like I'm you also have a Pokemon podcast or something.
I know, right? Maybe I should start one of those. And then my other one recently has been Villager from Animal Crossing.
Okay,
because it's fun to use. You can just get on a rocket and shoot it at people, and Isabelle's also super fun because she has a fishing rod and you can just like reel people in, and it's great. But yeah, mostly Pikachu. I mainly play with Pikachu and have since the Melee days.
Nice. So Super Smash Brothers on the 64 was actually my first game I had for the 64. So I played that one so much as a kid. I was like going back while doing research and looking at the intro videos and like looking at like how not great those graphics were, even though when I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. That's like an actual hand. I played Melee a bunch when I got my GameCube, played Brawl with my Wii. I never got a Wii U and I didn't have a 3DS, so I never played Super Smash Brothers 4. And then I got Ultimate for the Switch, so I've been playing a lot of that as well. Over the Christmassy break time, I went over to a friend's house and we all played like 8 people Smash, and it was just the best time. It reminded me a lot of like back in the day when I would play Melee with the GameCube. My people I play with kind of just varies. In the Melee days, I just play like a lot of Donkey Kong because I like Donkey Kong. And if people don't know how to get out of your little smashing the floor thing, it's a lot of fun to watch people get angry, and then just punt them out. I think Lucario is probably the one I play with the most. I like Lucario and Donkey Kong.
Lucario is cool.
So going into some production history of the game, and then we'll move into some of the things that I think make the game culturally relevant. So Super Smash Brothers, like, if you don't know what Super Smash Brothers is and you're like a video game fan, who are you? But
you're a person that gave up on Nintendo.
But you still gotta know what the game is. So why would you, the Switch is great, man. You gave up too soon.
I mean, isn't Ultimate like the best selling fighting game of all time already?
It's
something like that.
It's
or getting up there.
It's crushing. It's crushing numbers, man. It's gonna crush basically anything that the Switch has come out with.
So to be fair, I do want a Switch. It's just one of those Switch. So if somebody wants to, like, you know, like, send me a Switch, it'd be great. as far as having to buy one. That's like money.
The Switch, I will say, as I'm not just saying this because I'm a Nintendo fangirl, the Switch is one of the best consoles, I think.
Agreed.
Just ever. Just the just based on the fact that it's portable and a console.
Yeah, I love
and
the concept.
And already the software library is amazing. There's so much stuff to play that's really good. Even like the eShop titles and stuff like
and
that.
Just,
like independent
well,
stuff.
We were at PAX West and looking at the they had a giant Smash Ultimate poster or like thing. It was the length of their entire booth. There were so many characters.
75, I think, or 4 maybe.
Yeah.
74, I think.
74, so, 74, 75, something like that. Yeah.
They'll be adding, I'm sure, as well.
They're gonna build more.
Oh yeah, there's DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All so the then they lots of Pokemans.
800 Pokemon.
So Super Smash Brothers itself is classified as a crossover fighting video game. And the series is published by Nintendo. The original Super Smash Brothers for the 64, some people just call it Super Smash Brothers 64, was developed by HAL Laboratory, a second-party developer. And its director, Masahiro Sakurai, who is also the creator of the Kirby series, always wanted to make a four-player fighting game, but wasn't sure how to go about it, just because at the time, new original fighting games weren't doing well in Japan. So his original idea was to do a original property, and it was called Dragon King, the fighting game. If you go look at videos of it, it is like super cheesy and like blocky and does not look good literally at all. Like it's like a red guy versus like a blue guy. Didn't look great. So his next idea was to do basically the same kind of game, but with Nintendo characters, but he knew he would never get permission for it. So what he did was he just went ahead and did it anyway and created a prototype with Mario, Donkey Kong, Samus, and Fox as playable characters. Didn't tell Nintendo, and then like, here, Nintendo, look what I did. And they gave him the approval, and the game got greenlit, which is great. I just think it's hilarious that he was like ballsy enough just to be like, I'm just going to do it anyway, Nintendo.
It is crazy because Smash is their most successful franchise by far.
Yeah.
In terms of sales. And the fact that it was just Masahiro Sakurai going, eh, I'm going to do it anyway. It's kind of amazing.
Hey, if your idea is that good, it doesn't matter whether you
yeah,
get permission.
Yeah, I was like, that's just proof that sometimes you have to just ask for permission later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked because Super Smash Bros. 64 was released in 1999 and was only meant to be a Japanese release. Like, it wasn't meant to be a worldwide release. But after, like, selling over 1 million copies in Japan, they opened it up to the worldwide audience. So in Japan, it comes out January 21st, 1999. North America, April 26th, 1999.
April 29th, Matt bought the game. Like, that was, like, I bought that game quick.
So there we go. And then in the EU, in November 19th of 1999. So it is turning 20 here very, very soon in the coming weeks after this comes out. It explodes onto the scene. It does really well. The craziest thing about this whole thing was going back to look at how little characters were in the original game. When the original game came out, it only had 12 playable characters, which is crazy considering we have over 70 now. But the original characters were Mario, Donkey Kong, Link, Samus, Yoshi, Kirby, Fox, Pikachu, Luigi, Captain Falcon, Ness, and Jigglypuff. Mm-hmm. And then you had 9 playable stages, basically based on the characters from the game. So you had things like Peach's Castle, Sector Z, Hyrule's Castle, Dreamland, Yoshi Place, etc., etc.
So I also want to change my answer from the beginning. So Sheik is who I played in Melee. At work, I play Samus for obvious reasons that are the
same
for Sheik.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
I just wanted to put that out there because I didn't want to get added. I didn't want to get added. They're like, well Sheik
actually
isn't even a playable character in the 64 version.
You'll never find a more actually group of people than the Smash Bros. Community. I found
during my research, terrifying. Man. Holy moly! I did not understand it was that big a deal. Like in terms of everything that's changed, and we'll get into it a little bit, but I just did not understand how in depth like this community was until I started reading. Because for like the last 20 years, I've just played it with my friends, chilling. So I didn't know that these people were that into it. But over that last 20 years, we've gone from, you know, a small game who we didn't think was going to get out of Japan to five total games. I guess six if you split Super Smash Bros. 4. So you have Super Smash Bros. 64 in 1999, Super Smash Bros. Melee on the GameCube in 2001, Super Smash Bros. Brawl on the Wii in 2008, and then Super Smash Bros. 4 is on the Wii U, but it's also on the 3DS, so if you split those, and I guess it's six.
Do we care about the 3DS?
Some people do.
A lot of people
It's a fine version. Yeah, it's not fine, nearly as good as the Wii U version was.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's good. It was portable Smash, so that was enough. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
And that was in 2014, and then we just had, in December 2018, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate come out for the Switch. And then we went from 12 total characters in Smash Bros. 64 to 74, 75, depending on who you ask, in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And it was basically a small-budget game on the 64 to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate selling 3 million copies in the first 11 days. In the U.S.
So I do want to talk about at least one thing, because I know you talk about the character expansion, but what at least from, because I remember some of the stages in like 64, but the stages, like just the battle stages they have now, like in Ultimate, because I've obviously watched a lot of people play and stuff on the Switch, like they're like what they do with the stages now is really cool. I like.
Yeah, the stages are super great in Ultimate.
Yeah, and they're well done. They have a wide variety. They've added like actual elements now. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And you can turn off the hazard elements and stuff.
We don't have that. If you do that, you're a coward.
I'm just saying, it's stuff.
Or
you
just
want to
play the game without getting like a Pokemon thrown at you every 5 seconds.
Exactly. Like maybe I just want to 1v1 somebody and not worry about a car hitting.
It's all about the Matrix.
So Matt and I don't agree with on a lot of things, but we do agree on no party bumpers for video games.
So the first thing first, we'll just, for the but why those, we'll just go into like the success of Super Smash Brothers overall, just because like Ash said, it is
can I get one more question in? Sorry, since we were talking about like, I guess, whatever, Kate, the party bumper thing. I have, because I don't really, I know it's gotten very competitive. Do they have those off or on environmental hazards in competitive play?
It's off.
Okay, yeah. So it's off. I thought it was, yeah, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, it's off.
Yeah.
Because they care about, you know, the mechanics of the game.
That's fine. Know, that's fair. I get it. I love environmental hazards in games. They're great.
I love environmental stuff.
I will say, when you're playing with, like, four people, turn items on all day long. It's the most fun that way. But when you're 1v1ing somebody, it's just annoying. Like, especially if you're trying to, like, get good at the game. It's like, oh, I was in the middle of something and now I'm getting hit by a bus.
It is really hard to teach somebody with the environmental hazards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the trophy system makes it crazy when you have multiple people playing. You fly across the map and you have no idea what hit you, which is fun, I guess, if you're drunk. But not fun if you're trying to beat your friends you haven't seen in like 10 years.
That's the only way to play Mario Kart these days.
Yeah, so the series itself has been widely successful just from even like the first game. So Super Smash Bros. 64 sold 5 million copies worldwide. It's the fifth best-selling game for the 64. Surprisingly, it only has a 79 on Metacritic, but it did win IGN's Best Fighting Game. 79 is surprising when you look at the rest of the ratings because they're all much higher than that. So Super Smash Bros. Melee, which is usually widely regarded as probably the best game.
79 on Metacritic? That just blows my mind, considering, one, between obviously how great the stuff did and the other stuff, but two, back then, they just gave games super high ratings, like, all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure, I'm not sure why it was so low, because I played it when I was a kid, so I had fond memories of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I also think that, like, Super Smash Bros. Melee basically, like, improves on any issues that the 64 had, and it kind of shows with everything that it was awarded. So 7 million copies only a year after its release, best-selling GameCube game, 92 on Metacritic, IGN's like Game of the Year, and this basically jump starts like the tournament scene for the franchise basically from 04 to now, essentially.
Yeah, like I thought overall that it was pretty unanimous that Melee was like the best. I mean, before Ultimate, obviously, but was like the best and most accessible to play of Smash.
Well Brawl has some dumb crap in it, which is really what leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's okay. mouths. But Melee has been like the consistent one that people have said for the past, you know, 15 yeah. years that it's the best one.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I thought.
The fact that they're still playing it at a competitive level this many years after it came out is insane.
Oh, yeah.
I will say the only thing I could think of, like, basically, because obviously Melee improved a thing, but kind of because Smash the 64 one, as much as it was loved too, and what makes it amazing, I'm pretty sure it came out at the tail end of the 64.
Tail end.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
So obviously, looking at Metacritic, like, this is the best we got for like the tail end of games versus like yeah. you know, the Oblivion versus basically the Skyrim of like the 360 yeah. lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have Super Smash Bros. Brawl, which sold a lot of copies, 13.3 million copies worldwide. It's only the eighth best-selling Wii game, but it's also because, like, there's 17,000 Wii Sports, 17,000 Wii Fits, and, like, Mario Karts and Super Mario Brothers.
So, I do have a question. When it comes to, like, that, do, like, the Wii Sports and the Wii Fit thing, do they count as being sold if, like, they were included in, like, the consoles? Because yeah. basically, Wii Sports basically
yeah, they do.
Came
they
with
do.
Every
that's
console.
Weird.
Yeah. So, like,
yeah,
those numbers
that's why
are
Mario
super
and
high.
Duck Hunt is one of the. That's why Mario and Duck Hunt is one of the highest selling games of all time, is because it was packed in with the NES.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Because I also know basically a bunch of old nursing homes just bought so many Wiis for all their old people. And
yeah. I mean, it makes sense that Brawl sold so many copies because everybody and their mom literally had a Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So amazing how many copies of the Wii were sold. It's crazy.
That is the only system my mom has ever waited in line for.
My mom bought her own Wii.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no. My mom,
my grandparents
my mom
bought
their
own
us,
Wii.
But
my mom bought it for herself. She wasn't even in the country. She's like, I'm going to be doing me some Wii Fit. And then it turned into, I'm just going to sit on the board and drink wine and look at my Wii Fit.
Playing a lot of tennis. Yeah, because if you look at the numbers for like what the best-selling games for the Wii Sports is far and above the most bought game at 82.86 million copies.
But it was like automatically with the
yeah, you got it for free when you bought a Wii.
Hey, but you know, stuff
still counts.
Still counts. Mario Kart Wii, though, does have 37 million copies sold at number two. And then it just kind of has, like, Wii Play, Wii Fit,
so
Wii
weird.
Fit Plus.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Mario stuff doesn't bother me and stuff, but that's why I asked, because I know Wii Sports and Wii Fit for, like, especially Wii Sports just came with the consoles. That's why I figured I'd ask.
Yeah. Come on, man. 82 million copies, man. That's got to be a record somewhere. So, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, despite all of, you know, it only being the eighth best-selling, had a 93 on Metacritic. And basically jumpstarts the addition of third-party characters. So in this one, we get Solid Snake and Sonic. It was GameSpot's fighting game of the year, which looking back, I don't really agree with, since it didn't overtake Melee in the competitive scene, which we'll get into like yeah. a little bit later on. But because there was like they made so many changes like to make it more accessible that they kind of like dumbed it down a little bit, and it just made high-level play not as dynamic, and basically. It gets skipped over a lot in terms of.
Also, they put some nonsense in it, like you yeah. can just randomly trip.
Yeah, the tripping thing was dumb. Yeah, like yeah. a lot of stupid little mechanics there, that just didn't make it as good of a game as Melee. So a lot of people just stayed on Melee. But then you have Super Smash Bros. 4, one for the 3DS, sold quite a bit of copies. So 9.35 million copies worldwide. It was nominated for the best handheld and mobile game in 2014, but lost to Hearthstone.
I'm not gonna lie, when Hearthstone came out in 2014, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's I still play Hearthstone on my phone like every day. It had an 85 on Metacritic. The Wii U only sold 5 million copies, but is the fourth best selling game on the Wii U and won the best fighting game of the year, beating out the 3DS version, and has a 92 on Metacritic. I don't really remember playing this one too much, only because I didn't get a Wii U and I didn't have a 3DS.
Did
so
anybody get a
yeah,
Wii
I was about
Wii
to say.
U?
Yeah, which is
I got
it's
a
funny.
Wii U.
Oh, yeah, see, this is why Ash is on this podcast right here.
I know.
You can tell us about the yeah, Wii U.
I loved my Wii U.
I didn't get it.
I was like one of the five people on the planet who really liked the Wii U.
Yeah, so Super Smash Bros. 4 was like meant to bridge the gap between people who were mad at who were mad about Brawl, but still wanted like the melee elements.
So and before we since you said you had a, you played them both, correct, Ash? Can you like give us a little difference between the 3DS and the Wii U version? Because I mean, there is a
mechanically speaking, they're. It's been a while since I've played them, to be honest, but mechanically speaking, I think they're the same. They have the same characters. I'm not sure if they have the same amount of stages or if there's exclusive stuff. It's basically the same game, except one's on the 3DS and has worse visuals.
I mean, and I would assume, too, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, the mapping system, or, like, mapping Smash controllers would be really easy to something, because they're simple, like, I think Smash has the simplest controls out of any fighting game.
Yeah. And also, there's kind of a universal control scheme for Nintendo stuff. Like, their handhelds have the same button configuration for the most part, like, minus an extra thumbstick and stuff like that on the 3DS. But it was basically the same thing. You know, D-pad, circle pad thing. I'm not even entirely sure what the thing on the 3DS was called. ABXY, you know. So it was I imagine it was not very difficult. And also, you could use your 3DS if you had Smash 4 on the Wii U. You could use your 3DS as an extra controller. If you wanted to, which was kind of cool and helped a lot when you had a bunch of friends over. But yeah, they were basically the same game. And I know there's going to be some people who are going to who know all about the tech and complicated stuff that are going to tell me I'm an idiot. But
so I guess the
at least in my experience, they were basically the same thing.
So definitely wasn't just like it wasn't a direct port per se, though.
It wasn't a direct port. They're two different games. I think they were developed by two different groups of people, but for all intents and purposes, it was a port for the most part. They launched on the same day, and they had the same characters and stuff, so it really didn't matter at the end of the day.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's the only... I guess it doesn't really count anymore, but it was the only one that was a handheld title, but your Switch is basically a handheld title now. Yeah, so like the games are pretty similar. I mean, they even were nominated for a lot of like the same things. So they were two separate games, and like I said, like one beat the other one out for like best fighting game of the year. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. But even though a lot of people didn't play Super Smash Bros. 4, it basically took over people who didn't want to play Melee competitively. So there, up until Ultimate came out, there was a pretty big Super Smash Bros. 4 competitive scene outside of just Melee. Because no one wanted to play Brawl competitively.
Wait, there was a big divide in the community for a long time between Smash 4 players and Melee players. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. I was reading about it. I was like, I thought, no, who bought a Wii U? I didn't know people even cared about Super Smash Bros. 4 because there wasn't a
Wii U. I think it was the only reason people bought a Wii U, but it came out too late in the Wii U's lifespan to kind of save it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And then we have Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which, at least at this point, from like the numbers I could find, it sold 5 million copies worldwide in just December. But I'm sure those numbers are going to change between like now and when the episode comes out. But it is the fastest selling Switch game in the US and the UK. It was Amazon's highest selling video game last year. And it's the Switch's most pre-ordered game and has a 92 on Metacritic. So I'm pretty sure by the end of the year, it's going to be just smash numbers in terms of... console or game sales for the Switch. I would like recommend buying a Switch just to play Super Smash Brothers. Like that's how good the game is, I think, and how fun the game is.
Oh yeah, it's totally worth it.
So success, good out of the way, and I think a lot of it has to do for its kind of like new spin on fighting games, where it kind of toes the line between casual and then like super competitive, like where you can just play with your friends and then you can like 1v1 your brother and getting him into doing chores. And then he can never beat you because you're just so much better than him. Like there's that weird line in this game, and it's really weird because like the gameplay, it's different than other games where you have, you know, in other fighting games you have depleting life bars, and Super Smash Brothers you're focused on launching players off the map, or out of bounds, or you not falling off because you missed your jump. Characters have a damage total which rises as they take damage. As a character's percentage rises, the character can be knocked off progressively farther by an opponent's attack. So it puts that element in it that you don't really see in kind of other fighting games that are probably more popular.
So I was gonna say
also like, oh sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say basically this aspect of fighting games was the only reason like that I actually enjoy this game, because I cannot stand the traditional old school fighting games like the depleted health bars. Like I don't care for Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Tekken. Tekken went horrible, but I don't like it either that much. Any other ones, but for some reason, the way they've done it with this, I've enjoyed.
there is, it's incredibly satisfying in a way that other fighting games aren't sometimes because of the whole knocking people off the stage thing. Like, you can miss a jump and knock and kill yourself. And it's just, it especially when you get like eight people playing and you can't really see what's going on and everything is just complete madness. The other day we had eight people and we were all playing Kirby. And that was ridiculous. But when you when you knock somebody off the stage, it is incredibly satisfying, more so than like depleting a health bar, in my opinion. I love fighting games. I'm a huge Street Fighter fan and Mortal Kombat and all that stuff. But there's something about Smash and the gameplay that makes it kind of, specifically when you have like more than two people playing, it makes it super fun.
So, I mean, like, it's not, so platform, like platform and knocking people off, like that's not necessarily unique to Smash. The way they do it is unique. But, like, that's one of the reasons why I love Soul Cal and I love Taofang Enter the Lotus was because you had completely interactive environments and you had platform aspects where knocking people off was, it's so fun. Smash does do it entirely different in that, like, you can recover because, like, if I get knocked off a platform in Soul Cal, I don't get a chance to come back on. I'm just off. As if I dodge out off the platform too, or I'm doing a move and I miss, I can still go off the platform. So, I love that satisfying quality, but for me, like, it's like the opposite. I get super, like, the satisfying piece for me about Smash is that I can actually save myself if I'm getting hit off. I can try to jump to get back. Because I always think that that's fun, and then most of the time I just die because it was my own fault for not realizing I was off the platform soon.
Or for me, it's like the aspect of, like, even if you're getting your ass kicked, you still got a chance
to hit
your combo. But if you're like a health depleting game, if you just get comboed, you're just fucked.
Yeah, I mean, the madness that happens, especially when you're playing with multiple people, is just insane. Because I mean, there's times when you're like you got knocked off, but you take the other person down with you and you save yourself, but they get killed because they were trying to be a jerk and knock you off the stage. There's like so much fun to be had, especially because it's more of a party game than a fighting game, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it destroys friendships and relationships and all that. Like every good video game should, every good multiplayer video game should.
Put this way, egging somebody when they're like at 0% and they die is amazing. You have full health. That's okay.
I love fighters. I don't like the traditional fighters, so I hate Street Fighter. Sorry, Ash. I'm probably one of the one of the only people who loves fighters but hate Street Fighter. But like the thing that I love about Smash is actually when it comes to getting new people into fighters, you don't have to know prior fighting knowledge. Like you don't have to like know the combos. You don't have to have known how to play game like other fighter games to come into it, because that bar in traditional fighting games is what keeps it such an exclusive community. And the fact that Smash is super accessible is really awesome.
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes down to the controls, because controls are so simple in this compared to to Street Fighter, even compared to like Mortal Kombat and things like that. So the controls are greatly simplified compared to those other fighting games, with one button being used for a standard attack, one button being used for special attacks, and then you like have your jumps. And that's more or less it, and like the most simple way to say it. So you can perform different kinds of moves by holding the directional controls up, down, to the side, or a neutral position, all giving you different attacks based on that attack or that special button. And it comes down to three basic actions in Super Smash Bros. So attacking, grabbing, and shielding, which is usually described as kind of like the rock, paper, scissor analogy. So attacking beats grabbing, grabbing beats shielding, and shielding beats attacking. And with those just simple moves, there are so many different combos depending on which character you're playing, you know, throwing in like the dash aspects to it. So there's no like, you know, up, down, B, right, control C, do a backflip, and then you do your special. It's, you know, finding out what your character does and those combos in that realm.
Which, as we were talking about controls, so the one fighting game I did like was Killer Instinct, and then when they brought it back, I was so excited because I played it when I was a kid, and then I spent 45 minutes and I could not beat the tutorial because I could not do the controls.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm never playing this again.
Well, that's also why I hate Mortal Kombat too. Or I don't hate Mortal Kombat. I don't like Mortal Kombat.
The thing with Smash that I always really liked, especially when I was playing it as a kid, is you can literally just mash the A button with your friends and still have a good time.
So
you know, because it's still to this day you can just mash the A button and still have a great time. And then when you figure out a combo, it's like, oh, I didn't know how to do that. How did I do that? You know.
So there is one exception to that. So my fun fact is that Ryu from Street Fighter, when he got added into Smash, he is the only character that maintains his original controls from Street Fighter. So when you play Ryu, you're actually playing with Street Fighter controls.
And that's why nobody plays Ryu.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's awful.
So yeah. Gross.
That's also why people are like, oh, I'm going to play him. And then they suck with it. It's because for some weird reason, they decided that this is the one character that will keep his controls. Because I don't even think Ken has his controls. But
no,
Ryu,
Ken, I think, does have his controls.
Okay, yeah.
Because Ken is an Echo Fighter.
Yeah, okay,
so,
that makes sense.
Which basically means, for those of you guys who don't know, it's just basically the same character with a few differences and a different, like, coat of paint.
Yeah.
I haven't played Ken yet, so I don't know that.
Yeah, so that's, like, my one big fun fact, which I don't know how I, like, came to know that fun fact, because I don't like Street
Fighter. Yeah, no one I know ever doesn't play Ryu or Ken.
He's not,
so
the
I had
fun
no
one.
Idea.
Because in my opinion, you don't play Smash to play Ryu. You play Smash to play freaking Kirby or Samus.
Or Yoshi or
like,
someone. Yeah.
Those third-party characters are fun, and I get why people like playing Snake and Cloud and all them, but
even
for
those
me,
are cooler
just
than
Nintendo.
Fucking another fighter. Sorry. Then
hey, do you guys not realize that we're not supposed to be just yelling the F word over and over again?
Fuck, 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 fuck.
There you go. Do you guys get it out? I'm sorry, Ash, but it's just like...
Sorry. Those other third-party characters that you mentioned, Ash, I can understand those, but, like, Ryu has his own fighting game, and he has his own fighting mechanics. If you want to play that, go play Street Fighter.
Yeah, I don't know why Ryu and Ken are in there, to be honest. Like, I get Sonic, I get Solid Snake. I remember when Solid Snake was announced to be in Smash, the internet was met with just such excitement and confusion. And I get like having like the Castlevania guys in there because that's kind of a Nintendo thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started out on the SNES and the NES. So I get like having Simon and Richter in there, but Ryu and Ken is one of I totally agree. I don't know why they're in there, to be honest, because it's like, if I wanted to play this, I'd go play Street Fighter.
And the beauty of it is there's 70 characters now, so you can just like never play them ever, never, never touch them. Which, if they would have came out like when there was 12 characters, it might have been a little bit different. Another big aspect of Super Smash Bros., and we've already talked about a little bit, is kind of the items and kind of the rule sets you can do that add in a whole bunch of variation to the game, so you're not playing the same game every time. You can add things in, take things out. So items, the different kinds of items, like the battering items that help you like knock people off and smash people, throwing, shooting, recovery items, which all can be toggled on or off depending on how many items and how much craziness you want to play with. Then the two modes, time mode. I don't know who plays time mode. I don't know who does that.
Time
but
my brother-in-law.
Really? That's so weird.
Can we ask
time
why?
What was that?
Can we ask why?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, so time mode uses a point-based system in which each fighter earns points for knocking out their opponents and lose points for being knocked out. The player with the highest score at the end of the time limit wins the match. Then you have stock mode, which is the more universally one that's played, and it's basically a survival mode where you have 3 lives or however many lives you decide to have, and whoever doesn't lose all their lives wins. But no matter what you do, there's different ways you can play it in the starting menu where you can just have the craziest things go on, or you can just have the basic kind of competitive route of just 1v1ing somebody with no items or and stock in the stock mode.
So the funny thing is, as much as obviously we've mentioned before, I am all pro environmental hazards. I don't like when they add like random items, like the battering items or throwing items or like shields or something. I don't
love
know
all
why.
The items.
I don't. Like, I love environmental hazards, but I'm not a fan of, like, random items being thrown in.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I play with items turned off the majority of the time. It's like, because sometimes you just want to play, and you don't want to get hit in the head with a hammer or a Pokemon thrown at you, or like, oh, suddenly there's a magic giant dragon that's killing me. What is happening? You know, so I understand why for competitive play they turn items off.
Right. I think, just like I said, I just mentioned, because it's funny, I like if there's a random thing that just swings down while the map's shifting in the platform disappears and you're screwed, but if they give you a throwing star, I don't like it.
That's one of the other things about Smash that I really like, is that you can turn off specific items. So if you just want to play with like weird environmental hazards, you can do that. If you just want to play with Pokeballs, which we've done before, you can do that.
That's the most on-brand thing ever.
I know. I'm like, I'm not surprised.
Just all hammers.
When the day after Smash came out, me, my Safari Zone co-host, and a couple of our friends, we played an all Pokemon thing of Smash where we just did, the only items we used were Pokeballs and we only played Pokemon characters, which is probably the most on-brand thing we've done.
Yeah, and that's a lot of variety. So with like these like basic game mechanics and with like things like the items, if you throw in this the large variety of characters that the game has now, it creates a lot of unique play styles that kind of compensate for having such simple controls. So there is like a tier list now, and you know, there's a metagame in the competitive scene, but if you one trick, like if you're like the best damn Zelda player in the world, you can probably beat a lot of people if you're really good at Zelda. I don't know who mains Zelda, but like, it's a thing that you could do.
Well, the best player in the world for Melee mains Jigglypuff, which is not a good character, but he likes Jigglypuff and he makes it work. That's and he's amazing. The best player in the world. So you can do whatever you want, really.
Well, I mean, and that's one of the cool things that I've always enjoyed about like watching pro fighters. Like I hate the pro fighting scene for the most part, but I always like watching them because they always seem to gravitate towards really, really crappy characters or like extremely hard to handle characters, and they make something out of it because I think it comes into one of those things where like people don't expect you to play that character. And so nobody is really, and I think in something like Smash, knowing what your other character does really helps understand how to continue. Oh. It's almost like the entire, like especially with the rock, paper, scissors mode, and then like knowing what the specials, like what each, like the what is special to that character. Like I think for me, one of the things that I like about Smash is I feel like I have to know my character a lot more than I do in other fighting games.
So I guess one question going on that. So I'm assuming there's some type of tier list of characters, since you said that one character worse or good or whatnot.
Like as soon as Ultimate came out, a lot of like the pro players put out tier lists of like who's so, like S tier, A tier.
So as far as the tier list goes, is there a tier list based on like a difficulty? Because what I do know about a lot of pros and a lot of depending on the game, especially like in MOBAs, where there are characters that you're like, the casual player really does horrible, like the character does horrible in like, you know, regular casual scene and whatnot, because the characters are just difficult to play. But if you do master the character, then it's a large payoff because their abilities or whatever they do does it a lot better than the casual thing. So you see it a lot more in the competitive scene. So I don't know if there's like a payoff sort of like that.
There's definitely characters like that. There's ones that are really easy to use and you get really quick results, like King K. Rool in Ultimate is probably the most recent example of this. But there's some characters where it's referred to in the community as like tech. As soon as you learn all the tech and stuff, you can get incredible results with it. But there's some characters that are just easy to use from the beginning. Like King K. Rool, Villager is another one of those. Pikachu's pretty easy to use. Donkey Kong, because you can like slam people into the ground. But at a higher level of play, people know what you're going to do with those characters, so you can't really use them unless you're thinking outside the box.
Yep. So if you look at the tier list, the one that I'm looking at from 5 days ago,
Pikachu's S tier.
Yeah, Pikachu's always been S tier. Yoshi, Peach, Daisy, Inkling, Lucia, Marth. You know, a lot of the same characters that have been.
Inkling is stupid.
Yeah, a lot
Inkling
of
Inkling is stupid good.
Stupid yeah. good. So a lot of them has general.
Been. So I was
characters say- that have been good for a while. But these newer characters like Inkling are making their way into kind of those S tier.
And just for clarification, if you're listening and you don't know what a tier list is, S tier is like God tier. It is the top tier that you can get in fighting games and tiers. And then it goes down A, B, C, D.
They also basically do it off of racing games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a tier list, but, you know, if you're the best damn Zelda player or the best Jigglypuff player.
Okay, so I want to know, is Inkling stupid as in stupid really, really good, or stupid as in, like, she's really good, but we just don't like this character? Because I've watched people play it. Her, I believe. Is it her or it? I'm not sure what.
Inkling is really good, which is why I hate playing against it. And it's because it's a mechanical thing. Like, Inkling will cover you in paint, yes. And then you get trapped. And then you're there for 30 seconds, and the person you're playing goes up, grabs a drink from the kitchen, comes back, and you're still trapped.
That's
so, and you just That's get your, you just cheap. Get your... Yeah, I have a feeling that Inkling's getting patched one of these days, but...
I've seen a lot playing with Inkling, and people are like, this is super good, and I've seen that a lot, and I'm just like, I don't know if I would, like, be able to play against a person who plays this character, because this just seems really...
Yeah, my brother-in-law is an Inkling main, and it is so annoying. It is just...
I'm sure your brother-in-law is a nice guy, but he sounds kind
of... Oh, he's a very nice guy, but...
Don't like him.
No, another fun fact, so looking at the tier list... Ryu and Ken are A tier for Smash. Ryu's D tier for Street Fighter. So, the more you know.
Yeah. Tier lists are weird because they change all the time.
Yes.
Because things get patched out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Bayonetta in Smash 4 was the best character you could play, and she's not that anymore because they balanced her out. Which is kind of unfortunate because I really like Bayonetta, but yeah, it changes all the time. They patch stuff out, they change things, they add characters, and then suddenly something becomes obsolete. It's an ever-evolving metagame.
Oh, yeah. Ever-evolving metagame, and even if you don't even care about metagame or tier lists, there's such a wide range of characters from like Super Mario, F-Zero, Fire Emblem, Bayonetta, like Ash just mentioned, Pokemon, Duck Hunt, Donkey Kong, Mega Man, Kirby, Persona, like... Castlevania, there's just such a wide list now, especially with all the additions of the third party characters. Like, you're bound to find a character you like to play, or at least you have like some connection to, and you can just play that character all day and get really good with that one character, with over 70 characters to choose from, even if it is Ryu or Ken.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm dropping so much Street Fighter in here, but like it just
yeah, you don't even like Street Fighter.
Get out of here.
No, it just amazes me because like Ryu has repeatedly like he's just lived in D tier for so long on Street Fighter, but then in Smash he's A, and it confuses me.
Yeah, so like with larger game. So with like the larger fighting pool that allows you like to play with your favorite characters against other people's favorite characters and just kind of like that just fun aspect of it, I really do think it is more of a party game as well. And doesn't require like some uber micromechanical play like a Street Fighter or a, you know, Mortal Kombat or an Injustice would. I think it's just always been more appealing to me over any other crossover fighting game. Because I do love Marvel vs. Capcom. I love Mortal Kombat vs. DC, even though everyone hates it. But I just think like this game strikes the casual versus like pro player balance so much better than any other crossover fighting game that there is, which makes it just more fun to me to play at a given moment. Especially now with the Switch and its like accessibility, it's just so easy just to pick up a controller and play it now. I don't have to worry about getting a big ass
fight pad,
MAME cabinet thing to play a video game at my house. And I didn't know how much to talk about it just because I don't know how many people care about like the single player aspect of these games. But I've always kind of liked them, and I kind of really am enjoying playing the ultimate version of it single player. So even if you're not really like, good at fighting games, you can still have fun playing through some of these single player things and unlocking characters and things like that. If you're a completionist and you just want to go unlock all the trophies and do all that stuff, there's stuff for you there. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on like the single player aspect of any of these games, Ash?
I definitely think the best one was the Subspace Emissary from Brawl. I felt like a single-player mode was really lacking from Smash 4, and I really like World of Light in Smash Ultimate. I've never personally played it for the single-player. Like I said kind of earlier, I've always treated it more as like a party game than a fighting game. I don't play it by myself or play online all that much, because to me, I think it's just more fun to have people in the room that you're screaming
at. Basically, if you play by yourself, you're just a weird person. In Ash's eyes.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You're getting added by all the competitive Smash players, Ash.
Preference. No, I've never claimed to be a competitive Smash player.
As I go play Smash by myself after this recording, I'm just going to think about how Ash thinks I'm...
I'm just saying that because I assume all competitive Smash players just play by themselves a whole bunch.
Well, I imagine you have to. But... Or you play online, which playing online right now is hell if you have anything less than perfect internet. So it's a whole thing, but... I think the single player stuff is really cool. I like, there's just something weird, something like that makes me really happy, seeing a bunch of Nintendo characters together in a cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've always said, like, a Super Smash Brothers anime would be really cool.
Oh, that would be so
there's just
cool.
That nerdy part of me that's like, Kirby's talking to Zelda, you know.
Yeah.
So I've always liked the single player stuff.
Yeah, and we were coming into this episode like, well, what are we going to talk about? There's really not much change in between games, and there really isn't a whole bunch of like major changes other than them adding characters, and then with like the example of Super Smash Brothers Brawl where they added in like stuff like tripping. But it seems like Sakurai like really wants to make a game that's makes everybody happy, and I think they've really struck that with Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, and it doesn't feel like a reskin of Super Smash Brothers 4 or even Melee, which I think is a really great addition to a game that really hasn't changed all that much in 20 years.
Well, I think the great thing that Smash has that some of these other fighting games don't is they can always add new characters, and that keeps things really fresh. Yeah. Like, they can be like, we're putting Cloud in it. We're putting Ryu in it. We're putting, you know, King K. Rool in it. And that's enough for a lot of Nintendo fans. Just like I was mentioning earlier, seeing Kirby and Zelda talk to each other in a cutscene. There's enough of Nintendo fans who are like, oh my gosh, you can do King K. Rool versus Link? That's awesome. You know, that enough people will keep coming back to it over and over again. And they do enough things, and they also wait. The thing with like something like COD is like there's a new one every couple of years or every year. Same thing with like an Assassin's Creed or something like that.
Sadly.
With this, you're waiting like 5 years between games. And that is enough time. So by the time that the new one comes out, you've been playing the old one for 4 years, that anything new just seems fresh and innovative and interesting.
Yeah. I was going to say Nintendo's always done that well, where basically Nintendo's had like 5 franchises for like ever, and they just, as long as you get enough time period for people forget what they're playing to get a brand new one, they're happy. I will say,
I mean, that's how Pokemon survived all these years. Yeah.
But I will say it's been good because you talked about all the different characters and the variety of everything, and we mentioned all the like the negative stuff where like Ryu and Ken play with all their, you know, you have to use their original controls or whatnot. But I do know like they've done pretty well, like even with like, I guess, highlighting the characters how they are in general, because I know it came out and we had all the funny videos where basically if a character could not swim in the game that they're from, they basically died when they hit water. And so,
yeah,
I didn't know how much more they had, at least from my thing. They do a pretty good job of being consistent to the actual characters themselves from where they get them.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's so appealing to a lot of people, is like all of the moves and stuff that like Snake has makes sense for Snake's character if you're a fan of Metal Gear. Like Villager, all that stuff makes sense for that particular universe. Sonic, you know, all these different third-party characters in particular. And it just shows that they care about it.
Yeah.
You know, they care that they know these characters mean a lot to a lot of people, and to see them kind of put that effort in is really cool.
And I think that that's really amazing. I think it's something that's only really obtainable by using the simplistic control system. Because I think, like, having played, you're right, Adrian, I think you are the only person that likes Mortal Kombat versus DC. I hate that game so much. You can, like, with complicated controls, you can really easily lose the essence of a character when you're pretty much blending franchises, especially so many at one time, that I think having such simple controls allow each of the characters to keep their individuality and not feel like you're just playing the same thing with a different face. And I think that's something really
even
special.
Because even like the Echo characters, like Ash was mentioning earlier, still feel different enough where if you never knew that you were playing like an Echo character, I don't think you'd ever know unless you knew, you know, if you played the mirrored Echo of it. So they're even able to keep stuff fresh with stuff that's not so fresh, if that makes sense.
Even like Isabelle in The Villager, which is the most, they're not exactly an Echo fighter, but they have similar kinds of moves and combos and stuff like that. But even that, it's like there's so much character infused to the fighters that they feel like different people. Like Isabelle feels different than the Villager because of like whether that's her taunt or, you know, her final smash or whatever. It's enough to make those characters stand out, and every character is like that except for some of the Fire Emblem guys who feel a little bit of the same thing. That's like the one complaint people have had with Ultimate, is there's too many Fire Emblem guys in there, but I don't necessarily agree with that. they've done a really good job over the years keeping things from feeling boring and derivative,
because it's really
and even if you like Super Smash Brothers Melee, you can still play it, and it's the and you're fine. Like, you don't have to move on to, like, the new games. And you really see that kind of, like, in the competitive area, which will be, like, my last kind of, like, important thing for Super Smash Bros., because so much is talked about the competitive scene, even though it's really, like, not that super, super big, but, like, it's big within the communities of, like, people who play it.
It's getting big, though. Like, it's, like, this...
I mean, there's so many streamers now who are doing it that have made it super popular. And it's at Evo now, which is incredible.
Exactly. Like, Smash was something that, like, was happening, like, on a small stage. And I think... I also think the fact that there's been a rise in not traditional... Not, I don't want to say traditional fighters, but, like, Dragon Ball FighterZ and, like, all of these other fighting games that aren't traditional competition fight games and stuff that doesn't necessarily require a cabinet is becoming, like, larger and larger in pro fighting, that I think that, like, Smash, and I think you're completely right, Ash, like, with streamers, like, Smash is it, the large community that existed is coming to the forefront of actual fighting tournaments.
Well, yeah, and now there's money in it. I mean, not as much as, like, you know, I hate to say mainstream fighting games.
No, but that's
my point. Like, in terms of, like, it being, I'm not saying it's not big now, because, like, when we go to conventions, I love watching the Super Smash Brothers, you know, Melee competitions. I'd rather watch that than any other, like, Street Fighter or anything like that. But the prize money just hasn't been there in, like, the last 20 years or so. It's getting there, but it's definitely not as big as a Street Fighter or an Injustice or a...
I would actually say that it's probably bigger than an Injustice.
If you go look at, like, the prize pool, Injustice has some of, like, really big prize pool money.
Is that because DC's pumping money into it, though?
I don't know. I was just as surprised as you were.
There's been Smash tournaments where, like, third place walks away with, like, $100.
Oh, yeah. But I think...
Well, it's insane. There was most... recently, there was a top Smash 4 player whose name escapes me, who said, I can't go super hard in the competitive scene for Ultimate because I have to stream. And being away and going to tournaments just isn't financially responsible for me.
So I think a lot of this is going to change now with Ultimate. Like, because I've seen it where it's moved from, like, side stages to main stages now. But I think the reliance on Melee or Smash 64... is also one of the reasons that it's, like, kind of hindered its growth. And I think Ultimate is really, really just going to open it up to be even bigger.
Like, for example, a guy named Foxy Grandpa won $50,000 for Injustice 2 in 2017. And the highest, as of, was this, June 2018, Mena RD in Street Fighter V won $250,000.
Yeah.
And Injustice, this guy named Dragon won $150,000 for Injustice 2 in October 2017. Yeah. Okay. So, for whatever reason, people are playing a lot of money to play Injustice 2 for some reason.
That confuses me.
Going back to what Kate said about people relying too much on Melee and that kind of hindering its growth, I absolutely agree. Like, there's only so much. I stopped watching Melee stuff, like, 3 years ago because it just got boring. Like, there's only so much you can do with a 15-year-old game. Yeah. And I think with Ultimate, some of those Melee players are moving over to Ultimate because of streaming and because of the online fan community. So I think you're going to see the competitive scene shift. And Melee, I'm not going to say that Melee is going to get pushed out of the spotlight, but I think that the focus is going to be on Ultimate.
Yeah, no, it's already shifting for sure from what I
mean. There's already tons of Melee streamers who started streaming Ultimate just because it makes more sense to do that.
Yeah, so I know, like, a few years ago, because we've been to, obviously, a lot of esports conventions, and I knew Melee was big, but then, like, I saw it, like, you know, like, be, like, 2016 or something like that, and, like, we'd see it at convention, and I'm like, they're still playing this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
There's a bunch of people in the community, and I'm not saying this to, like, rag on Melee players. I get why people play Melee, but there's a bunch of people in the community who... you know, after Brawl came out and changed a lot of the things, they just refused to let go of Melee. And I don't think those guys are going to go away anytime soon, but I think maybe on the bigger fighting game tournaments like Evo and stuff, you're not going to be seeing Melee stuff in a few years.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be seeing more Ultimate stuff, just because it makes sense for the tournament and the players to be playing this game that everybody's
talking about.
And I
also think, too, it's also one of those weird things when you come to competitive scene, is a lot of companies put in a lot of money for those competitive pools. And I think that Nintendo has proven itself to just be a company that doesn't care about that type of They don't really care about press cycles.
Yeah.
They don't care about conventions. Like, they don't care about that stuff.
I mean, across the board, even in stuff like Pokemon, they have never cared about esports.
Yeah, because...
You know, like, Pokemon players have been trying to get people to take them seriously for years as, like, as an actual esport. And it's partially because Nintendo refuses to kind of back a lot of us up.
And, like, it's my whole thing is, like, whenever E3 happens, like... Xbox and Sony are fighting each other and Nintendo's just like walking around eating its ice cream by itself because it just doesn't care.
I was gonna say, just kind of like what we've kind of talked about this whole episode of, basically, as long as you can space your games out and nostalgia and everything else, you know, release the same game 5 years, maybe a little bit different tweaks, people love it.
Yeah,
and like that, they're still talking about Smash Brothers from 99, or Mario, I mean, Zelda, I mean, they haven't changed much, they've added a few games, but they're literally just the same characters.
I mean, and I think that that's something that makes the Smash community a fighting community that really kind of amazes me, is because the bulk of the Smash's success, especially getting into Evo now, like, that's fan-driven. That's actually them doing it because they don't have the backing of something large, which I think makes it way more impressive than, than Capcom buying a stage and putting people on it.
I mean, for years, there's a lot of people in Melee who were trying to get people to take them seriously for years because everyone was like, Smash is a party game, it's not a fighting game. And I'm unfortunately one of those people. It is kind of amazing, like you were saying, that it even still exists in the capacity that it does today, that people are still talking and playing Melee. And there are people who follow, like, the Melee competitive scene. Just because... Like, the fans care. That's the thing I really admire about Smash fans more than anything else. It's a passionate community, sometimes an over-passionate community that can be kind of gatekeepy in certain aspects. But for the most part, it's just people who really like this video game who were, like, trying to get it taken seriously for a really long time. And which is why some of them have a chip on their shoulder about... certain things happening with, like, Ultimate.
So,
like,
obviously, since you talked about things, this is a party game more than a competitive game. How much, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to speak because I haven't played in forever and whatnot. How much do you think the skill difference is between, like, your, you know, maybe your person who plays, like, you plays quite a bit versus an actual competitive person? Is there a giant skill gap? Is there not a skill gap? I mean, some games, it's like a pro will never lose. And there's other games where you flip a coin and it could happen.
Well, it's interesting because I play competitive Pokemon, and that's pretty much 95% of the time that is luck. That's, like, predicting and having a little bit of skill, but you don't know what you're... It's all turn-based combat. Mm-hmm. This requires a lot of skill. If I went over to a pro Smash player, even somebody who just kind of played in the tournament scene, I would get my butt handed to me on a silver platter in, like, 5 seconds because I'm good amongst my friends, but I don't take it seriously enough to be good at it. And there's so much, like, tech and combos and moves and learning when to dash and learning how to exploit a character's weaknesses or strengths that there's kind of a big skill gap between, like, the quote-unquote casual player, which is what I am, and a competitive one. Like with most fighting games, I think, but...
I enjoyed Killer Instinct back from, like, 1996, and then I tried to play it back in 2012, and I was like, I can't do this. And then...
I found that I just don't have time for fighting games anymore.
That's fair.
Because the barrier to entry is just so high, and there's other stuff I want to play, even though I like Street Fighter.
The cool thing about Smash Competitive is it was... it's one of the few competitive scenes that has, like, a built-in community that is actively working to get women more involved and get them to pro level, and like by actually housing events, and it's more than just one team. So you'll see it happen, like League of Legends has, like, an all-female team, but this is actually a community. So, like, Smash Sisters works to set up all-female tournaments and give them a space to progressively get better, which is a space that you lose a lot that you usually don't have, given, like, toxicity of, like, certain environments, especially with, like, all of what comes with fighting games. And so that's something that is, like, really unique to Smash. And, like, they just do a lot of work getting people involved in esports, or women involved in esports, probably more than other esports.
Smash is one of those things, and I've run into this, I can speak more about it in Pokemon, but it's a similar situation. Smash is one of those things where if you go to a tournament, it's going to be all men, and they do not take women seriously. So the fact that there are people there or people out there who are trying to get women into Smash is incredible. You know, and then I think it's like with any other esport, there's just, I'm not entirely sure how to phrase this, but the fact that Smash cares about women in esports is, I just find it really cool. And I wish that there would be more people out there that would do stuff like Smash Sisters and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's something that could be used in other esports. And for some reason, it just...
So like, it's not like the stuff. Smite team?
No,
four years ago? Well, I guess we can put in the context of the Smite actual team. So I guess, I don't know if that's enough. So essentially, a few years ago, Smite wanted like an all-women team. And so, kind of like what Kate said, they filled and they made an entire, like, basically an SPL team of all women. The problem was with doing so, probably only about one, I believe, one or two. Yeah. Like, their captain.
There was one who deserved to be there.
Their captain was amazing, who I believe still plays, mm-hmm. I believe today. And then the rest were just basically people because they wanted women, and they just got annihilated.
Yeah.
And it ruined a lot of stuff, and then it also just ruined the poor woman who actually was probably the by
deserved
far the
it.
Best.
Yeah. And it's one of the things that you see happening in esports is they put together, well, this is our all female team. Here we go. We did it. And it's like, well, that's not what it's about. Like, what makes Smash Sisters different is they're actually cultivating a community where women can compete and get to that top pro level and then go. And they talk about it whenever they do their interviews that their main goal at Smash Sisters is to help nurture players who can then transition into the co-ed space. Like, this isn't going to be what it always is. It's about making sure that they have a space to grow and learn that other people don't have,
which is totally amazing, because a lot of my problems with esports and the reason why I haven't gotten into the competitive Smash scene as much, Pokemon is different because like you play online all the time, and you can compete in like online tournaments, nobody knows who you are. But part of the reason why I went to a couple Smash tournaments and it was a horrendous experience. Just like constantly dudes like, oh, I never saw a girl play Smash before or anything like that. And the fact that that exists, and it's specifically like trying to create all female tournaments and like get women together to play Smash so they can improve, so they don't have to deal with people, you know, making idiotic comments and stuff like that, is incredible.
Yeah.
It's just, I love it.
And I really hope other esports areas take note of this and do something more like that, because there is a large problem where like it's just about giving us a space where we can actually, like, if I'm getting harassed 5 hours out of the six that I have to play the game, I'm not going to want to play that game to get better for that 6 hours. I'm just going to turn it off. Smash Sisters, they're awesome.
I mean, that's kind of everything I had for like the competitive scene section. I think the only thing that I would add, if you have time, go down the rabbit hole of the Five Gods of Melee and all the drama that goes on with that craziness. It's basically like the same five guys who basically ran the Melee scene for like 12 years. The era's kind of gone because one of them's retired, or one of them's moved on to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. One of them has like health issues, something like that. But like these same five dudes just won stuff for like an entire decade plus. Like similar to like the Five Gods of Street Fighter.
Yeah.
The same way with Melee. And the most financially successful Super Smash Brothers player isn't even the best player in the world. So Jason Mew 2 King Zimmerman, one of the Five Gods of Melee, has made cumulatively $147,000 since 2005.
But that goes back to what you were saying about
That's what I was trying to say. That's what I was trying to like get to. Like he made what one dude made in Injustice in October.
over his total
Smash career. And then like Ash was mentioning earlier, with Super Smash Brothers out, it looks like the scene is definitely changing in the competitive play. Like there aren't any, that from what I can find, there weren't any tournaments scheduled for Super Smash Brothers 4. Due to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate being out, and some of the best Melee players are already switching over to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but I don't think that scene will ever die. I think it's just going to limp.
You're going to have a lot of guys who are going to switch over to Ultimate for 6 months, and then when people get bored of the game, they're going to go back to Melee.
So I do have a question. Since we did talk about patching and whatnot, does Melee still get patched up?
No.
I don't think so.
So, see, that's probably no wonder. That's still even more amazing. People still play that then. Because I understand, like, because obviously we have some games like you're like, oh, well, Counter-Strike and all the other stuff. Well, Counter-Strike's a little different because of shooter, but, like, you have MOBAs and everything else that go, but they're like, And even like Overwatch per se now, like the different metas and thing, and ultimately I mean, like they can patch everything so we can consistently stay around longer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think your Counter-Strike thing is too far off. So like for like the longest time, the competitive scene of Counter-Strike, people played 1.6 even though like Source and Go were out. I'm pretty sure there's still competitive 1.6 tournaments going on. So I think it's really just like that kind of original flavor, and then like whatever's coming out new, is how like this system is going to go. So I don't know, in 5 years the new console comes out, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Super Smash Brothers Melee tournaments, and then whatever Super Smash Brothers Super Duper Saiyan stuff when they put Goku into it or something. I don't know.
I will say, as like an outside observer to the community, there is an aspect where I can see people getting kind of tired with Melee. And I can kind of see maybe in a few years, like 10 years maybe, Melee stop being played at the level that it is. I don't think people are ever going to stop playing Melee, but maybe it won't show up at Evo.
Yeah. And at the very least, with the Switch now, it's super easy to have your own LANs and your own tournaments, even though online is still an issue for people, even though it's been like that forever.
Do you have a question for Adrian, though? Because I know that like, you've played way more Smashes than like I have. So, and then I know we got Ash's opinion on it, on whether it's like a party game or like fighter, and how she feels. What do you think about it? Like, where do you fall in that like party game versus fighter piece?
I mean, I think it just toes the line really well, because all my fondest memories of Smash Brothers are playing at couch co-op.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's like a party game thing, right? But it's also like a fighting game where if you don't know how to play, you're going to get your ass kicked. So I think it toes that line beautifully. And I think it's just like a non-traditional fighting game.
Yeah.
It's a sub-genre of fighting game.
So it's a horror game.
Yes. Thank you, Matt. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I think it just toes the line really, really well. Because it's not the traditional, you know, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, but it's still a fighting game. You're still fighting.
Yeah.
You're still punching people. I'd play that. I'd play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate if you put games in front of me. Like, here, we're going to play a fighting game. Other than Jump Force, like, I'm playing Super Smash Bros. Over anything.
Have you got to play Jump Force yet? Have either you or Ash got to play Jump Force yet?
No, I haven't.
Sadly. If you love anime and shonen, you're going to love it. If you're going there for mechanics, you're going to hate it. So
it's like Super Smash Brothers, but so that's all I got. I'll get into some fanboy why those, because we actually had way more than I thought we were gonna get
for
Super Smash Brothers. We had a lot. I'm actually kind of surprised, but they all kind of revolve around the same thing, which I think is the best part of this game, is kind of like the not nostalgia, like that sounds sometimes that second shoot is like negative, but like the memories and just the couch co-op stuff is what a lot of these center around. So the first one we have is from Nico, Nico_the_Aura, who is one of our lovely patrons and contributors at butwhythepodcast.com. Aside from Mario Kart, this is a game that puts friendships to the test. But aside from that, having so many of its iconic characters, Nintendo managed to create something amazing. At Getsu083, Charles, one of our lovely patrons,
and contributors.
It's sort of the concept that I would have come up with as a kid. All the various franchises mashed together. So much fun. A game truly designed and dedicated to the sheer joy of gaming. Plus, I would have never guessed some of the characters that would show up. Wouldn't believe it could be. And it almost didn't, unless he didn't go behind their back. Jason Flats at Flatter_U. So many hours on the couch with friends, siblings, and even my dad. Wish we can go back to the days of couch co-op. Get a Switch. At Home Video Hustle, or Home Video Hustle at HVH Podcast. So many good times with Smash. My brother and me would play Melee for hours, and it was one of those few games he never got salty when I beat him, LOL. I don't know if Kate's brother can say the same. When we were playing Ultimate yesterday, so it matters to me because it brings back so many memories of hanging out with little bro and gaming. That's such a quality fanboy, though. I like that one. At Isaiah Mon... at Isaiah...
Montejano?
Oh, Montano. I was like, what is that word? But I wasn't reading Spanish when I was reading it. Super Smash Brothers 64. My parents had a Nintendo 64, and they bought Super Smash for my siblings and I from the Beluga. It's one of those games on the 64 I spent most of the time playing with siblings and friends. Classic. Tex Frickin'. All right. Not only is it basically a digital Nintendo museum, the gameplay is easy to understand and enjoy. It truly is a party game. Also, my sister and I have played every entry since the beginning, and the bond I have with her playing is always prominent. I never thought of it as a digital Nintendo museum.
I haven't either. That's a really good.
I like that a lot.
That's a really good. That's there a we good go. Point. That's like a perfect description of it.
Yeah. At Dr. Ragnarok, Super Smash Bros. Is the very reason I became a gamer. It introduced me to so many franchises that I otherwise would have never picked up. It also gave me a deeper appreciation for the gaming industry and turned me into a Fire Emblem junkie. I am in Sakuriya's debt forever. I heard that a lot. That a lot of people got into Fire Emblem because of Super Smash Brothers.
I did. That's the only reason I checked out Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that actually brings up another question. Are there any games that you all have played just because you used a character in Smash, other than Fire Emblem, now?
Earthbound. Because I was like, who's this Ness guy? And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, that looks fun.
I think the only one... I mean, I played Metal Gear before Snake was in it, but like I played more Metal Gear after because of Snake. Does that count?
I think that counts. Sure.
Yeah. I liked Waluigi more because he was in it, but you know how that goes. No respect for Waluigi.
That's fine.
Justice for Waluigi.
And then our last one is at MVD417. Super Smash Brothers is a very accessible fighting game series that is a tribute to all of video game history. Also, something about Smash I really enjoy are the memes. And there are some really great memes in here that all surround Waluigi, it looks like. A lot of these.
I loved the Kirby memes that were around recently.
The best one is watching Sonic attempt to swim.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just sad.
My favorite one is Isabelle, and she's like standing in the back. There's carnage in the background, and it says, "Bold of you to assume I fear death." And it's just funny because it's Isabelle. It's like...
Yeah. So a lot of the fanboy those talked about a lot about what we talked about today. So I think that is mission accomplished, and we can go play some Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Are there any characters y'all want to see in there that aren't in there?
I'm kind of good, man. Like, I'm okay with third-party characters coming in there, but, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if they're in there, cool, but am I going to stop playing them to play my other characters? I don't know.
I mean... This should surprise absolutely no one, but more Pokemon would be cool.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
A hot take right there. Bold take.
Bold statement.
Bold statement from me, yes.
Yeah. I would like Waluigi back in the game.
Waluigi's another one.
Yeah.
Give my man some justice.
I like to imagine that Sakurai is just sitting up there at Nintendo headquarters or whatever, and he's looking at the internet and he's going, why do people care about Waluigi all of a sudden?
I bet you Sakurai
didn't
how
I felt.
Look at internet because of
no,
Nintendo.
I know.
I don't.
I'm just like, dude. There's so many characters. You just couldn't put them back in the game. Come on, Sakurai. Just love
Why,
me.
Are you
Let
are
me
you sad
Waluigi.
Because there's a Wii Fit person? And
the
not.
Fact that there's a Wii Fit person in there and not Waluigi is really interesting.
Bro, you could put your Mii in there. Like, come on.
Wait, you can?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Mii Fighter.
Oh. Yep. Okay. On that note, thank you so much, Ash, for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
We are going to have you back for a Nintendo episode because we still don't have one. but yeah, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs and your stuff.
You can find my personal Twitter at airsatsash. You can find my show, The Safari Zone Podcast, at butwhythoughpodcast.com, along with some of my writing about anything and everything. And you can find my other podcast, my Star Wars podcast, at SW Skyhoppers on Twitter or wherever podcasts are found. It's the Skyhoppers Podcast.
Aw, Awesome. And as always, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen. And if you want to join the conversation yourself, make sure you find us on all of our social media at ButWhyThoughPC. And you can find me at OhMyMythRandier on Twitter. Adrian?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperReuiz93.
Matt?
You can find me escaping one of the castles that Mario blows up.
There we go.
One, I saw one of those videos last night, and it was hilarious. Which I kind of want to send now, if I could find it again.